Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how are you guys doing? This is In Between the Lines. This is our sixth episode. Just going to talk a little NFL Combine. No matter how long ago the NFL season is, you know, ended and how far it is, I think we're always just going to wind up talking about it. And we're going to talk a little bit of the San Diego Padres and James Shields situation. If anyone's baseball fans, you probably know that the Padres are trying to build a super team that eventually they probably can't afford. But anyway, how you doing, Roscoe? Getting ready for Mardi Gras?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah, anyone who listens to us and they're not from New Orleans, Louisiana, we're from New Orleans, so it's kind of Mardi Gras time, so we're all kind of getting off of school. Probably will not be going live Tuesday just because it's Mardi Gras and, you know, it'd be better to be sober and do a show than. But anyway, the Combine starts next Tuesday. It runs for a whole week. I mean, it's going to be pretty big. A lot of big-name guys, I know, they've been talking about Mariota and Jameis, you know, pretty much the whole season and now off season on that they're going to be the two people who are going to battle for number one. And now it's starting to say Jameis is going to be the number one draft pick just because the Buccaneers just released Josh McCown. You know, looking forward to the Combine, Roscoe, who do you think is a make or break? And your answer might be Jameis. That's mine, and I'll elaborate that on that later. But do you think there's anyone else maybe besides Jameis, or is it really just Jameis who has a lot to prove?
I think both Jameis and Mariota have a lot to prove. But outside of them two, I think the big guy that a lot of teams are going to be keying on is Dorial Green-Beckham, who's the ex-number one recruit going into Missouri. He got dismissed from the team, went to Oklahoma. He hasn't played in about a year and a half. He's a big guy, you know, 6'6", 225. But if he doesn't show out at the Combine, it's really going to hurt his stock. A few mock drafts I've seen so far. I know it's early. We haven't seen a Combine yet or nothing or any pro days or workouts. But some mock drafts have him going in the first round, which is kind of odd to me. I mean, this guy hasn't played football in a year and a half. You see it with Josh Gordon, who was suspended most of the year, came back sluggish, rusty, you know. This guy, if he doesn't shed at the Combine, I think it's going to really hurt his draft stock. He may slip down to the third round, fourth round, because they have 1 year of tape on the guy at Missouri. He was in the 2012 recruiting class. Yeah, he has a lot of talent, but he's going to be rusty. I wouldn't put a number one pick on him, like, in the first round. I think it's just too much of a question mark. He hasn't performed in a year and a half. Like I said, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what he does at the Combine. He does have a lot of, you know, things that you can't coach, like size, but you're going to have to see his, you know, work ethic, how he's going to work out at the Combine, the interviews, which I think that's going to be a big thing with Jameis Winston, make a break with him, because a lot of team interviews happen at the Combine. It's not just working out. I think a lot of team interviews are going to make a break for Jameis Winston, and I think the same is going to be for Green Beckham. He's going to have to really shine if I was a GM to pick him in the first round. I can't see it. And if he doesn't, like I said, he could drop to the third or fourth round. So I think the Combine really is a make or break for him. I mean, the pay from a first round guy to a third, fourth round guy, it falls off. We all know that. So it's going to be very interesting to see what he does at the Combine.
All right. Well, you did steal my guy, but not for the make or break. Which I guess I'll Let me talk about Jameis first. Jameis is my make-or-break guy just because I think that this combine can really screw him up. Like, granted, he's going to be a first-rounder, in my opinion, but this can really determine whether a team is going to draft him and be like, this is a rookie quarterback, and we're going to throw him out there, or they're going to draft him as just a guy to be a backup. Before I start, were you going to say anything, Roscoe?
Well, I was going to say he's definitely going to be drafted in the first round. I was going to agree with you on that. And, you know, I think the combine's really going to, you know, be a make or break for him and Mariota both. Those type of guys, you know, they're really good athletes. They'll benefit from a few things at the combine, but also a few things where they have to show out they're not going to do as well. And I think Mariota is going to have the advantage in the interviews because I think we agree on this. Jameis Winston isn't the smartest guy in the world. And I think that's really going to hurt him when it comes to the interviews.
I think Mariota is going to shine over everything on him. I mean, that's why it's big for Jameis, and that's why, you know, doing our pre-show, that's what I outlined, you know, on my paper. You know, I mean, if you guys don't know, the combine process, it's a lot of athletic stuff, from weightlifting to passing to running 40s to running speed drills, ladders. It's the whole nine yards. But then what a lot of people don't realize they do is they interview these guys. They interview them. Mm-hmm. They sit them down. And like you said, Mariota is going to do well. He has a clean background. He's a smart guy. He sounds intelligent. When they do, let's say, I cannot wait for Gruden's QB camp, by the way. That's going to be
I think that's going to be a big impact as well.
with Mariota. But that's what it's going to be like when a GM or a team wants to speak to Mark. They're going to ask him how to read defenses, how to recognize certain things. And I don't know if, and I might have said Mariota, I meant to say Winston. That's what's going to be big for Winston. Last year, he threw 25 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. He threw 18 interceptions in college. You're a great college guy. You should do that. They're going to ask him what? You had anything?
Well, I was just going to say he threw 18 interceptions. He wasn't playing in the powerhouse conference some other guys. He was in the
Come
ACC,
on.
You know.
That's
not powerhouse football.
That is a given. But he throws 18 interceptions, and they're going to question him. You know, they're going to question how he reads defense, and then I'm sure he's going to get, and the last time I'm sure, I am sure, I'm 100% sure he's going to get drilled with his off-the-season problems. Jameis, you don't point shave, right? Like, I'm sure they're going to hit him with everything you can really think of. Can you pass a drug test? Can you do this? And then I just don't know if he's mature enough, and I don't think he's ready for that. And then it comes down to his arm motion, which a lot of people look at. A lot of your NFL quarterbacks, and I know this might sound weird, and it's even in baseball too. You have a guy who throws funky, who doesn't have mechanics, and for quarterbacks, mechanics. The NFL isn't really full of guys who have junky mechanics. I actually remember reading a scouting report on Zach Menberger, who I was very high on last year. He dropped in the draft a lot because of his throwing mechanics. He had to change his throwing mechanics. Menberger loved to sidearm the football when he threw. It was something he did. I don't know why he did it, but he used to always do it. That hurt him. If you guys look at Jameis Winston's throw, he sidearms a little bit. He doesn't have a really good motion. He's not a quick release. That's going to affect him a little bit, and now they're saying he might not even throw at the combine. And that would hurt him even more. I think Jameis' best bet is to just be fully mature, go into the combine, and please, that his ability's there. But then it's going to be the interviews for Jameis. It is all on the interviews. He's got to prove a team to draft him. He's got to prove the Bucs to say, we want to keep you in the state of Florida. We want you to be our starting quarterback next year. I personally, and I'm sure we'll discuss it more when we do our draft episode in a few months, I don't like Jameis. I'm pretty 100% positive he's going to be a bust. I don't see him being a franchise quarterback. And I don't see Mariota being a franchise quarterback, even though I like Mariota, and I do see him being a really good system quarterback, but you don't get a lot of those in the NFL unless you're the Eagles. Did you have anything else to add to Jameis, Roscoe?
Yeah, since I didn't touch on it, I would like to add a few things. You know, the thing with Jameis is he going to come into the combine and take it seriously? Because we know he does have off-the-field issues, and we know he's not always focused in. So, is he going to take advantage of it? And I think both, I mean, I think any guy who's going to the combine, I think they need to, you know, perform and do everything they can. I don't like how quarterbacks come in. I don't like how other athletes come in and say, oh, I'm not going to do this drill. I'm not going to do that. You're at the combine to prove yourself. By doing those things, you're leaving question marks to teams, you know. And I think it'd be really dumb if Mariota or Jameis Winston didn't throw, because I think Mariota's thinking about not throwing either.
Well, Mariota, I do know Mariota is thinking about not throwing because he did have some of a shoulder problem with him.
Yeah,
shoulder injury that I think he
suffered later in the year,
in the
or maybe in the championship game.
He does have a shoulder problem, but he was quoted saying, "My shoulder is going to be a problem, but I'm going to work my tail off for the combine because I want to throw." Jameis, on the other hand, and I looked into it, Jameis doesn't really have an injury, and he doesn't know if he wants to throw. That's ridiculous. I mean, I don't, like you said, it's a maturity thing, and Jameis just doesn't even have it. Jameis doesn't care. He thinks, in my opinion, he's just so good, and he just wants to get drafted and go be in the NFL. He's going to be like a Geno Smith, and hopefully he drops, but he's going to be a Geno Smith, and he's going to hit the field. He's going to be shocked as a rookie. He's just going to get baffled. I just do not see Jameis succeeding at all.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about it more once we get closer to the draft about him being an NFL quarterback. I don't see it either. I agree with you. But, I mean, I think these two guys can really, you know, they can show out in a few drills at the combine, but I think a few things are going to hurt him as well. Once they do a size test with Mariota, you know, once they do all kinds of stuff, you know, I think there's so many things that can hurt you at the combine. There's so many things that can make you look better. It's just taking advantage of those things. But I think we both agree that once he goes to the interviews, Mariota is going to shine. But you see, with the Bucks coming out and saying we're leaning towards Jameis, I just feel like that's a way for them to sell tickets. You know,
let them sell tickets and be 13-3.
Or 3-13.
Maybe 3-13. Excuse me. Definitely not 13-3. Let them sell tickets and be 3-13. I don't care. As a Saints supporter, I don't care. I mean, if that's their directive,
I
feel like that's going to be a big selling point to get Jameis too. But what I'm saying is, if that's their directive and they draft him, and if they slip up and say, you know, it's a local guy, people are excited to come see him, then the GM needs to get fired, and the Saints can move their dumpster fire to Tampa, and Tampa can take it over, because that's ridiculous. I was actually talking about this yesterday, big coincidence. You draft to what you need. Now, I mean, if this, like, let's say the Saints. I think the Saints need an O-lineman. But the best O-lineman isn't projected to go off the board till 19. But we have the 13th pick, picking O-lineman. It's all about positional needs. It's not just about Jameis is going to bring us in. Jameis is going to bring us tickets, so on and so forth.
I mean, they
granted,
do need a quarterback as well.
Hey, see, that's what I was just about to say. That's where it gets tricky. They actually do need a quarterback. Do I think Jameis is the answer? I don't. But they do need a quarterback, so that's where they can get bailed out and they can be able to say, well, we really need a quarterback.
You know, I kind of wish they would take a page out of the Texans playbook and draft the best available guy. But that's just my opinion.
Well, hey, look, I mean...
I mean, you can say what you want about Clowney. Oh, he was hurt, you know. It didn't really pan out, but that's really going to help them in the future. But, you know, that was last year. We're talking about this year's combine. And
no, but
I think
mean,
we both agree.
That's what they needed. And, I mean, in my opinion, I'm still going to stick to this for the rest of my commentating career, discussion career. I still thought Khalil Mack was the best player in that draft, and the Texans should have drafted him. Drafting Clowney, in my opinion, I don't think they really needed it, like another pass rusher. In my opinion, they didn't. But in that position, I'm drafting Clowney or Khalil Mack. Put one of those guys on the end of J.J. Watt, it's ridiculous. So a fully healthy Clowney and J.J. Watt is going to be scary.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll see that this year.
Oh,
but,
we will.
I mean,
I fully expect that.
Yeah. I think that's going to be pretty fun to watch.
And you pretty much summed it up for me, but I'll talk a little bit about it. I did want to ask you who your sleeper guy was. My sleeper is Darrell Green Beckham. Like everything you said, he's 6'6", 225. He's built like a receiver. He had his off-the-field problems. He has to prove that he's not Josh Gordon 2.0. That's his biggest selling point. Because, I mean, like you said, he was the number one.
Or Justin Blackman 2.0.
There you go. Even that, too. But, well, the Josh Gordon thing is a good reference because, I mean, he's getting his freaking drug. He's getting his drug suspensions going on in college. He needs to prove that he's not Josh Gordon. He needs to prove he's past it. He did come out and say he feels like he's grown up in the year he had to sit on the sidelines, which, I mean, he could be just saying that. I don't know. But, you know, only time's going to tell, so I'm not going to rip him for that yet. He is holding a pro day at Oklahoma, which is a good move by him. So he's doing the combine, and he's doing a pro day in March. Through Oklahoma.
I mean, he needs to do the most for him because, like I said, they don't have much tape. So I agree with you. I think that's
exactly
a big thing for him.
And he needs to just prove it out there. And Todd McShay, I don't really agree with a lot of Todd or Mel Kiper say. So I mean, I'm gonna have to find an NFL draft analyst who I like because I haven't found one yet. But I do agree with McShay. He did say. He does have some of the best hands that he's seen in a while. At least his 1 year of college, his hands were incredible. You know, with that size, he had great hands. There's no discussion that the talent is there. But like you said, if he wants to show out at the combine, have a good combine, I could see him being drafted late first round. Other than that, I mean, I do think he'll be a second-round pick. I think teams will be scared off. But I do know our friend Ryan would love to have this discussion. You know who I could see drafting Doriel Green Beckham? Seattle Seahawks, late first. Why wouldn't they? Pete Carroll loves taking guys who have problems. Why not? But that's another discussion, but... I think my sleeper is going to be Doriel Green Beckham. He's gifted. He's athletic. He's 6'6". He's got great hands. He's got an NFL body. He just bulk up a little bit. So I do think he's going to come out and surprise people. And I don't really know too much about his, you know, how he acts off the field and, you know, how he conducts himself. But I think all he's got to do is nab the interviews and have a good combine. And I think he'll prove to be a surprise guy. The draft coming up.
I think it all depends on his combine for him, you know. you know, it's going to be tough. It would be tough for me to draft a guy who's been off the field, but if he shows out and a team believes in him, he does have the talent, he does have the size, he'd be a good pick, you know. But I can also see him slipping.
I agree with both of those. I would only draft a guy with off the field issues in the right situation. Basically, I'd have to have a guy tell me I screwed up. I will sign for the bare minimum, you know, so on and so forth. But is Green Beckham worth a first round pick? No, not my opinion. Unless he shows up, though. See, that's where I don't know. You see, I'm saying I wouldn't, but now I'm retracting it immediately because he has first-round talent. To his year in the NFL, I mean, he showed he had talent. I mean, the talent's there. He's got first-round talent. Now it's just got to be if he can prove to be just past everything, and that's where it's going to be a problem. And I can tell you right now, I think he is going to get picked late first, second round. I don't see him dropping third or fourth unless he really just bombs the combine and the pro day and looks like he hasn't touched the football field in a year. You know, then that'll be a problem. Like a good example, how about like a Maurice Claret pro day? You remember Maurice Claret at the pro day? Gained all that weight. He was slow. He couldn't really do much. He dropped to the fourth, fifth round. You know, something like that too. You have a guy sit out and look like that, but we'll have to see what happens. Do you have a potential sleeper? You know, who do you think is gonna have a surprise combine, Roscoe, and really impress everybody?
I chose two sleepers, but the main one, like, staying at the same position, wide receiver, Philip Dorsett out of University of Miami, Florida. The guy's got incredible speed. He's gonna be a guy to really show out at his combine and his pro day. He was never a dominant receiver at Miami, and he's a little small, you know. He's a small, quick guy, but this guy just has speed out of the world. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network called him probably the fastest player in this entire draft class. You know, a team who needs a deep threat, a guy who can seam down the middle of the field, get open, I think it'd be a great pick for them to get. I know this guy's not going to go early, but he's definitely going to be a sleeper and a steal in the middle rounds. His 40 time's going to be excellent, and I think he's going to have – he's just going to shock scouts at the combine. You know, he only had 121 career catches at Miami, but
exactly.
He's got a lot of speed, and I think in the right system, as a middle round guy, he can really thrive in the NFL. I'd really like to see what he can do.
Well, the thing about that is a guy like that, he's a sleeper because, you know, not necessarily because of his talent, but look at who he had in college throwing him the football. Can you name a quarterback at Miami who was good enough?
I mean, none of them were really great, but this year was Brad Kaya, a true freshman, so he didn't get to have a great senior year, you know, like other wide receivers. But, I mean, the talent's there. And like I said, he's going to be a sleeper, and a team's going to get him in the mid-round, and they're really going to – he's – going to be one to watch at the combine, but I would pick a mid-round, and I think it would be a great mid-round pick for some teams who, you know, need a little depth at receiver, need a really fast guy, a speedy guy. I like him.
Are you there?
Hello, can you hear me, Roscoe?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, we disconnected, I think. Did you disconnect, or were you still in the air?
I was still in there.
You were? Well, thank the Lord. You can go ahead if you want to start repeating everything you were saying, because I was listening.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, he didn't have anybody throwing him the ball. He didn't benefit from a great last year at Miami, but he has the talent, and a team can get him in the mid-rounds, and they're going to be able to put this guy in a system. You know, I expect him to be a slot receiver, but he's got the talent, and, you know, he's going to excite scouts at the combine, but he's definitely a sleeper pick that teams need to watch out for.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't say I've been hearing a lot about this Kevin White guy. Do you like him, or do you think he's all right?
I mean, I like him, but I don't think he's a sleeper. I mean, I think he's a guy who's projected to go top 10, top 15. Some people have him going ahead of Amari Cooper, which that's blasphemy to me. I think that's crazy. Amari Cooper was definitely the best wide receiver in college football. He had 124 catches in one season alone. I don't see how you can put a guy ahead of him. But, I mean, I like Kevin White. I wouldn't call him a sleeper because he's projected to go in the first round.
Yeah, I'd say he's a sleeper in the point of, I feel like, I just don't feel like he's anything special. I mean, I watched tape on him. I didn't gain too much out of his play. He just looked like an average college receiver, you know. He almost reminded me, he didn't remind me of a Jarvis Landry. I thought Jarvis Landry had great hands, and he's a good route runner, which he is. Last year, Odell Beckham, I thought Odell Beckham would be one of the best receivers in the draft just because of his, how quick he is off the line, how great he runs his routes, and his ability to make big plays. Kevin White, he just looked average to me. And like you said, ahead of Amari Cooper's ridiculous. And I even think top 10 is ridiculous. I just don't see a team who'd benefit too much from him. I mean, maybe, I guess, the Vikings. But would the Vikings really draft him? I don't think they would.
I mean, I would love for Cleveland to get him at 12, but I think he's a good wide receiver. I don't think he's average, you know. I think he's a good wide receiver.
Well, he's nothing special,
and he put up,
in my opinion. I didn't see much of anything special just by watching him play. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, he was up for the Biletnikoff Award, which goes to the best wide receiver, which went to Amari Cooper last year, but he was a finalist for that award.
Yeah, I guess only time will tell with Kevin White. Do you have if you have just a gut feeling, who do you think is going to come out to this combine and they're going to be hyped or they're going to be looked at? They're a big play guy, big prospect, and they're just going to bust. They're going to fall flat on their face and their draft stock's going to plummet. Who do you think is the best candidate for that?
Melvin Gordon.
Ooh!
You know, I don't think he's the best running back in the draft. I think that I'm going to say who I think the best running back is in a draft. I think it's Amir Abdullah. I think he's really going to impress me the most. I know he's a little smaller, but I think the way he plays, I really like him. You know, it seems like Melvin Gordon, he has a lot of weaknesses. He likes bouncing the runs wide, so he likes running side to side. He has a fumbling problem. In his last five games at Wisconsin, he fumbled the ball six times.
So,
I mean, when you look at it, when you go look at his stats in college, yes, he had a great year. You know, he had a lot of big games. He was playing in the Big Ten. I mean, besides Ohio State, I don't think anybody's special in the Big Ten. I'm just not a big believer in Melvin Gordon, which I know I kind of, you know, sent a little wishy-washy to Ed because Amir Abdullah played in the Big Ten as well. But I just feel like Amir Abdullah is going to have a bigger combine or prove more because he's going to be the underrated one. I think Melvin Gordon's he's going to be, oh, I'm the best running back. I think he's going to be laid back. I don't see it for Melvin Gordon.
It's funny you say that. I think the best running back in the draft is Todd Gurley.
I mean,
I know he's got his injury problems, but Todd Gurley is a beast. He is a man.
He
runs right at you. He compared, you know, they compared him to AP, which I thought was a little bit too much. Adrian Peterson's a little bit faster. Todd Gurley reminded me of Mark Ingram, to be honest. He'll run you right over, and he'll run up the middle, too. I mean,
when it comes down to Gurley or Gordon, I would definitely take Todd Gurley.
I agree.
But, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Amir Abdullah, and I think Todd Gurley's a great running back. And he probably, you know, he probably will be the best running back in the draft.
Do you have a size on Amir Abdullah? I didn't look into Amir. I don't know. I mean, I know he's smaller, but how small? Do you know he's not Darren Sproles small, right?
He's 5'9".
Okay. All right.
But, I mean, he's 5'9", and I think he weighs like 195, 200 pounds. So he's pretty solid. It's not like he's a small back who's going to, you know, he's not like Darren Sproles.
You know who that sounds like, right? Pierre Thomas.
And
honestly,
Pierre Thomas is a good running back.
Strong. He'll run you over. He'll catch his pass. And that's what you just described. I mean, Darren Sproles is like 5'6". Darren Sproles is small. But,
and, you know, another thing, these running backs to me now have to have great vision, and they have to be able to pass block.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
They have to be able to catch out of the backfield. You know, I think a lot of people are scared of Amir Abdullah because of how small he is. Will he be able to pass block? But, I mean, one of his biggest strengths is the vision that he has, the way he has cut his cutbacks. They're great. His NFL comparison is Andre Ellington. Which, I mean, Andre Ellington was a pretty good running back last year until he got hurt.
He was hurt the whole year.
And, I mean, he played pretty well even though he was hurt, I thought.
He was. He played great. He was he was questionable for week one with a hurt foot, and it comes to find out every game he was day to day. Questionable with a hurt foot, and then he wound up getting his other injury and he's out for the year. But Andre Ellington's awesome. But to compare him to Andre Ellington, that's going to speak a lot, because Ellington was a 6th-round draft pick. And I mean, you can find your best guys. I mean, I thought the best running back in the draft last year was Jeremy Hill, and that proved to be pretty well. And to touch on your comments, I don't think Melvin Gordon's the best, you know, running back in the draft. I don't necessarily see him bust at the combine, just because I think he's a physical. He is pretty strong, and he's going to impress people with his dash, with his 40-yard dash. Probably going to impress people with his weight, lifting. I mean, if he proves that he can pass block, you know, after he gets drafted and such, he'll be a good little pickup. I don't think it's going to be a complete bust. I just don't see him as the best running back in the draft, and I would probably take him late second, early third. And I think Todd Gurley is going to be the best back in the draft, and I would take him early second. I would take him ahead of Melvin Gordon, but it's just making me nervous because of the ACL injury.
Mm-hmm.
I think who's going to fall flat on his face, and this is kind of out of the blue, but I'm only saying this because some mock drafts have him ranked as the second-best quarterback. No, third-ranked quarterback, excuse me, is Brett Hundley. I don't see much out of Brett. I know I've talked with you about him. I don't like his size, first off. He's 6'2". He doesn't have enough muscle on him. He really, and I looked through his stats this past year. Every game he attempted at least 7 rushing attempts. Most games he ran for a negative in a few games. Ran for 8 yards. He tries to use his speed first, and it's not going to work when he gets to the NFL. His longest passing play of the year was 77 yards, and it was a slant route. He's got to improve his arm strength. He needs to improve his decision making, in the sense of he needs to not be afraid to take chances. He's a very indecisive guy. He really reminded me of Jameis from last year or the year before, you know, his Heisman year thing. Except his whole career, he got sacked a lot. And I don't think his arm's going to impress. His accuracy is going to be another thing. There's not a real good way to test that. He had a decent QBR, about the same with Jameis's. And I mean, he's not really playing defenses in college, but that really should matter when I discuss, you know, my pick for the guy who's going to shine. But I just don't see it from Brett Hundley. I think he'll be a fourth to sixth round draft pick, just like Mentberger, AJ McCarron, and Zach Mentberger were last year. So mine's probably going to be Brett Hundley. I don't see him really impressing too many people.
Yeah, I agree with that. This whole quarterback class is pretty iffy. I felt like if teams needed a quarterback, they should have did it last year, if they needed one for the future. This year has a lot of quarterbacks who are system quarterbacks, guys who rely on making plays with their feet. Like you said, with Hundley, he really relies on his feet. Jameis at times relied on his feet. We know Mariota relied on his feet. I think Bryce Petty's a system quarterback. I don't really believe in him too much. Blake Sims,
another. Who's the best quarterback in the draft?
For the pros?
Yeah, who's the best quarterback? Who is going to be the best quarterback out this draft? Because we know last year it was Derek Carr. Who's going to be the best quarterback out this draft?
I think it's going to be Sean Mannion of Oregon State. He's, you know, he's the best pro style quarterback. Not a lot of people know him because, I mean, Oregon State's not on TV much. I know a lot of people talked about him in the pro style system. I think that's his best plus side. I don't think he's going to be a good quarterback. Like I said, I think this quarterback class is very weak. I'm a Browns fan, and they say we need a quarterback this year. I'd rather him go in free agent, maybe get a Jake Locker, who when is healthy, he can be a pro quarterback. But I don't see a quarterback in this draft that can turn your franchise around. And I think the Titans shouldn't draft a quarterback in the first round. I think they should stick it out with Mettenberger. Supposedly they liked what he did last year. I don't know why they would go draft a quarterback. I mean,
Doesn't that make no sense that the owner can come out and say, we liked what he did the last two games. He impressed us when he was playing hurt. And yet they come out saying they might be eyeing a quarterback. It makes no sense, but I don't want to get into that discussion.
That makes no sense to me. If I was the GM for the Titans, I would consider going defensive tackle or trading down, maybe getting a skill player. But I think I don't think they should get a quarterback.
When it was the Titans picked second, right?
Yeah.
I can tell you who they should draft. They already got Bishop Stanky, right? Go O-line. Go Scherf out of Iowa, or go Clemens out of Pittsburgh. Why not just draft
but
an O-lineman?
Would
build,
you draft,
start building a line.
Would you draft an offensive lineman at number two? I mean, they could trade down and get more picks. And
well, it depends what you say by trade down. Are the Browns the only team that own multiple first-round draft picks? I think they are.
This year they're the only team that holds multiple first-round draft picks. And I'll tell you a team who would trade up. I think the Jets would trade up to get Mariota or Winston, whoever's available. So, I mean, there's suitors for the trade-down clause that the Titans, in my opinion, should do.
Well, Well, then,
you know,
yeah, I mean, I would trade my number. But the Jets being in the rebuilding mode they're in right now, would the Jets trade what? I mean, their sixth, what would they do? Their sixth pick and our first round next year or our second round this year? I don't think they do that. I mean, if they find a good suitor, yeah. But, I mean, like I said, in my opinion, I know it's not always the case. In my opinion, you draft for your positional needs. Though, like you said, if they do need a defensive tackle, Leonard Williams could go to number two. Why not pick Leonard?
Yeah.
Because, you know, then there comes to that, too. But I do think they need an O-line. But, yeah, we're stringing off into tight talk about the Tennessee Titans. So you're welcome, Tennessee Titans fan. And because I'm going to defend him, just because you said you didn't like him, he's gonna prove a lot. Best quarterback of the draft class, Bryce Petty. He played. They ran their option style offense a little bit. They strung out when Petty took over. Ran a lot of spread. Ran a little bit of pro style. I love his arm. He's got a great arm. Makes a lot of smart decisions. He's not very indecisive. He's confident in himself. I really like Bryce Petty a lot, especially I actually watched a good bit of his games. I know, granted, I did watch his games, so I did watch games where the defense they're playing were subpar. I do know that that's definitely the case. But like I think you said, I think me and you had this conversation a long time ago. People have to understand, As a GM and a head scout, you want to draft a quarterback who's playing in a pro style offense, who's not running around, running the option or running a spread and just like Nick Hundley or somebody or Jameis even, who just look, don't see anybody and run around and bust a 30-yard run up the middle and slide. And yeah, they're so good, they can do it all, but it's like, they really can. I want a quarterback who's running a pro-style offense, who's going to sit in the pocket, going to have a great presence, and is going to connect. Or even a great guy who's going to sit in the pocket and then throw it away or something. I want someone who knows the game well, and I think Bryce Petty knows the game. He's confident that he knows the game. He's impressed. He impressed a lot of people at the Senior Bowl practices. In the Senior Bowl, I do know he threw an interception, but other than that, I did hear a lot of good things about him. So
but
that's who I like.
See, I have a major scare with Bryce Petty. The injuries. I mean, it seemed like every year he had a shoulder injury or it was a concussion. And, I mean, it seemed like every other week he was dealing with something, you know. And that plays a lot into my factor.
I mean, he's played all his games. I think he missed a game last year. I mean, he plays a lot of his games. He's not your boy from West Virginia who's, like, out of football.
Oh, Quint Trickett, baby.
Yeah,
one more concussion and he dies.
Clint's probably your local Dick's Sporting Goods or Academy Sports and Outdoors representative.
Well, he's given up football. He can't play football anymore.
I know.
The concussion issue.
But I like Bryce a lot. I do think he'll be a nice second round. I won't go that steep. I'd probably say third to fifth round, and that's where you find your quarterbacks now, unless you get guys like Aaron Rodgers in
Matt
the draft.
Stafford, Andrew Luck, Matt Ryan.
Know? Exactly. You get those types of guys. But I do think Bryce Petty is going to be a guy who's going to surprise people at the combine, and I'm really going to be excited. I'm going to try to DVR him because I know they come on at the worst time. But I'm definitely going to check him out and check everyone else in the combine. Roscoe, you got a guy who's not really a sleeper, but you think it could be anyone. It could be who you think is going to go number one overall. Do you think anyone's going to come out of the combine and just shine and look phenomenal?
Well, I have two people who are – I think Amir Abdullah is going to really impress me once it comes down to the interviews. He has a great football IQ. I think – that's where he's going to really shine. And that's a big thing when you're talking to players and scouts. They really look into that, I think. And I think also when it comes down to drills where the cone drills, his cutting, his ability to be quick, not really with breakaway speed, but his lateral cuts, his jump from here to there. I think he's going to be good in that. I think he's really going to shine there. And I think the guy we talked about earlier, Leonard Williams, I think he's going to really shine out at the combine. I think he's an athletic freak. I really like him. I think whoever gets him is really going to have a nice deep tackle, defensive end, a guy who can really play on the line and succeed in the NFL.
Yeah, I like Leonard, too. I think he was he wasn't really talked about much in the middle of the year, in my opinion, but he played really good defense, and he was in a league that was all about offense. You know, I mean, 12, they got running backs running 45 times a game. Between running backs and quarterbacks, and he did a real good job. They said they're really impressed by his size and weight, but he's got a lot of stamina for his size too. So I think he's going to be a good pick for Tennessee or Jacksonville, because that's where he's going to go.
I can't see him slotting further down than that.
But yeah, all around I think it's going to be a good combine. I think the draft's kind of deep if you know where to look. I think you know, you don't have a lot of big name guys, but you have guys who are going to do real well and get the job done.
It's very deep at the skill positions.
What do you mean by that?
Wide receiver, running back. I mean, we didn't even talk about T.J. Yeldon, who's going to the draft, and Tyler Lockett out of Kansas State, another slot receiver who can be really effective.
It's a skill draft. I mean, the offensive tackles are great. Clemens in Pittsburgh and Lyle Collins. I'm a big Lyle Collins fan. Dante Fowler, Randy Gregory, Shane Ray, Vic Beasley, Bud Dupree.
Vic Beasley.
All of those guys are going to be good, in my opinion. Even Bud Dupree really impressed me in Kentucky. Trey Waynes, Jalen Collins, Marcus Peters, P.J. Williams isn't terrible. There's some good cornerbacks in this draft. Landon Collins is, I think he might be, he's the best safety to come out of the draft since Clint Dix last year. And in my opinion, maybe I'll hurt some Alabama fans, I think Landon's a little bit better than Clint Dix.
I agree with that 100%, and I'm a huge Alabama fan. Landon Collins is a better safety than Clinton Dix. He is
good. Real good.
He's exceptionally good.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, I would love to have Landon on my team. The Saints don't need him, but, you know, whoever gets him is going to be really satisfied, and he's going to wind up slipping. You know,
I think he's going to end up with the Washington Redskins or the Chicago Bears. That's the two teams I'm thinking that are going to draft Landon Collins.
When do you think Landon would go, though? Like, what number-wise?
I think one of them has the 8 or 9 pick.
I don't think he'll go that early.
Those two teams need a safety, though. They need to shore up some things on defense.
Well, they also need Bears also really desperately need the offensive line. Desperately. Don't sleep on Sammy Coates either. I forget about Sammy Coates.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sammy Coates is good, too.
Yeah, he's going to be really good. I think he's going to have a nice combine. He's a big guy. And I think in the Iron Bowl against Alabama, I think he had like 3 receptions for 171 yards, 2 touchdowns. Great downfield threat. It's going to be really interesting to see where he goes. I know they were talking about him going late first round. Wouldn't be surprised if the New England Patriots pick him.
going to be an exciting draft. And just letting for our live listeners, we do have 8 minutes left on the show, but me and Roscoe are going to continue talking throughout our whole show. When we end up, when the live feed ends, we will still continue the conversation. It is going to be downloadable on the podcast, full hour and a half, 2 hours, however long we go. So just feel free to download that. But, you know, enough about the combine. You know, we'll start moving. There's a few games, a few big college basketball games. What do you think is the biggest college basketball game this weekend? You know, do you think it's even Kentucky playing a bad South Carolina team because Kentucky's been struggling so much? Or do you think it's someone like, you know, Butler and Villanova? I'm sure it's going to be a great game. You know, who do you think's top game this weekend?
I think this week the top game is going to be a top 25 matchup in the Big 12. Baylor and Kansas.
No.
I think it's going to be a huge matchup for both teams. This is going to be the second meeting. Kansas won the first one on the road on the last second shot, 56-55. Baylor has struggled in the conference games this year. They're 6-5, 18-6 overall, so 12-1 outside of the conference. That's pretty big. They need to get some Big 12 wins to boost up that resume. I think they're like 6th in the conference. So win this week, it's pretty much bunched up middle of the pack for the Big 12. With Kansas out in the lead with 2-3 games, I believe. But Kansas will be at home at Allen Fieldhouse. Great atmosphere for a college basketball game. I would definitely tune into this one. Rico Gathers, New Orleans native.
Ricardo!
He didn't have a big game in the first game. And if you've been watching college basketball lately, this guy is putting up numbers like 20-15, 18-14.
Top 10 plays the other night.
He is he's something else. He's an animal. If he has a game this week where he puts up 20-15, I can see Baylor going on the road and upsetting Kansas. I mean, Baylor is in a position where they need to get a big win. They need a game to boost up that resume for the big dance. I think this would be perfect for them to do. It wouldn't shock me if Baylor won. It also wouldn't shock me if Kansas blew them out. But I'm leaning towards it being a great game. And like I said, if Ricardo Gathers puts up the numbers that he's been putting up lately, I expect the Bears to come away with the win. I'm definitely tuning into that one on Saturday. I hope our listeners can give it a watch. I know most people are going to be out on the parade routes enjoying Endymion, but that's definitely going to be a big game Saturday night.
Okay. I went Big 12 as well. That's why I was excited earlier. I thought we could get the same thing. West Virginia, Iowa State is going to be another big game. Iowa State's got to start gaining ground in that conference. I know they have the conference tournament, which is really going to be – that's going to be fun. That is going to be – those two conference tournaments are going to be must-watch basketball. The ACC tournament and the Big 12 tournament is going to be really fun to watch. But, I know Iowa State's playing West Virginia. They got to play West Virginia. They're coming off a Iowa State's been struggling. They started off 12-2, and they're 5-4 in their last game, their last nine. They beat West Virginia on the road earlier by 2 last second. You know, they're coming off a loss to Oklahoma, who, again, I said they were my sleeper team. Oklahoma continues to impress me. You know, they really need a Big 12 victory at home, and they're at home. And interesting enough, West Virginia leads the NCAA in steals per game. They average 13 steals a game, which is really interesting. And Fred Hoiberg, who I love, and like we talked last show, you know, the new age NBA, spread the ball. That's what Hoiberg loves to do. He loves to spread it out at Iowa State, play a lot of almost like a Shaka Smart type VCU style defense where they, you know, they kind of get up on you a little bit. They're going to need to do that. They're going to need to stretch it out and try to keep it, just keep it away from running sets all jumbled up, almost like what the Pelicans do or Trailblazers do a little bit. I'm just thinking of teams, you know, they can't, you know, there's not much they can do. But going to be a great game. They need to feed it to, you know, their big forward, Niang, averaging 15-7-5 this year. It's going to be a real good game, and I expect Iowa State to go full out for it. And West Virginia is no slack as well. They're both top 25. So you guys should definitely tune into that one. I think that'll be probably the game of the weekend.
Who do you think wins out of Baylor and Kansas?
Kansas. They're at home, right? Kansas.
Yeah, they're at home.
They're not getting beat. Ricardo's playing out of his mind, like you said, but they're not getting beat. They're playing too well. I think Kansas is starting to figure it out a little bit more. They had a few upsets earlier in the year. They got with Kelly Oubre and Perry Jones, who I've mentioned them before, and Bill Self. I think Kansas is going to be a real big threat again this year. But, you know, they always are. And Baylor's going to be no slouch either. You know, Big 12 is going to put up a lot of guys and a lot of teams in the tournament. So it'll be interesting to see if Baylor can prove themselves with a big game. You know, I mean, if they can pull out a win, that'll be huge. I believe that, you know, I believe that's Saturday at 12, actually, on CBS.
So that's a day game?
Is it? I mean, I know Iowa State.
You see, I'm not sure. I thought it was the college game day game this week. So I thought it was the night game.
Then it's the other way around. Then Iowa State is the 12 o'clock game. I know one of them's a day game, and the other one's a night game. Like, one of them's a CBS game of the week.
I mean, both are going to be great games.
And if anyone's not keeping up with college basketball, check out Butler and Villanova. That's going to be fun, too. Butler's ranked 18th, I believe. Villanova's still 6th. Again, I like what Jay Wright does at Villanova. He made that franchise. He made that university have a name. So they have a good basketball program because of him. And I believe that's an in-conference game as well.
Yeah,
so you guys should definitely check that out.
Butler's moved to the Big East.
Yeah, so that's gonna be a very good game as well. A lot of good college basketball going on this weekend, especially prepping for the tournament coming up.
And it's right around the corner.
Oh, it's,
March is almost
oh,
here.
It's right there for us to start a nice bracket. Yeah, that'll be pretty good as well. James Shields for the Padres. Do you like that?
You know, going into the offseason, San Diego, they got a new first-year GM in A.J. Preller. He comes in. He's making all these moves. Now, don't get me wrong. These moves are great. And I like the signing by James Shields. It came down to the Cubs and the Padres. I feel like, you know, the deal is a – I don't like the money. James Shields is getting up there in age. But San Diego had the money to spend. I think that's going to hurt them later on, but we'll talk about that. You know, I can't see them succeeding this year.
I don't
think they're just going to turn it around on the – spot at a dime and just make the playoffs. I still think they're the third best team in the NL West behind the Dodgers and the Giants.
Hey, look, they could easily be the fourth worst. They could be the worst team in that division. And I say that 100% positive because the Diamondbacks are scrappy as hell. And that whole division, not to interrupt you, but that whole division is a dogfight. They all hate each other. For the most part, they all hate each other. So it's really fun to watch all those teams play each other.
The NL West is a tough, tough division.
And the Rockies, too. Look at that. You know? Diamondbacks, Rockies, Padres, Giants. That's a division right there.
So, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, I don't see them succeeding. Even though they went and got Matt Kemp, Justin Hupton, Will Myers, Derek Norris, Will Middlebrooks, I think the best move for them was possibly Will Myers. Because I don't think James Shields is going to be the ace of the staff in San Diego.
Help me out with that. That was, what was, well, see, the thing with Upton, I mean, the thing about the Padres is, you know, I put in the title of the show, you know, the Padres super team, because it's like, if you look at the last two quote-unquote super teams, the Toronto Blue Jays and the famous Miami Marlins team, who had their own television show, for God's sake, you know, it's just the super teams do not work out. They don't know how to play together. Baseball is a situational thing, and you got.
They may look great
together
on paper, but it just doesn't pan out. We've seen it recently with, like you said, the Blue Jays and the Marlins. It just doesn't work out.
And look at who they gave up. I'm not a fan of that either. They've given up so many of their prospects. They send the Nationals Trey Turner, who, if Trey becomes what he at least was in high school, the guy was a freak in high school. If he becomes anything in the minors, in the next 2 years, they're going to have Rendon and Trey Turner on one side of the infield. That's going to be disgusting. And they get it for Will Myers, who struggled last year heavily. I know the guy. I mean, look, I had him on my fantasy baseball team at the beginning of the year. If I have someone on my fantasy baseball team, I'm going to study him. And Will Myers was bad. He was not seeing the ball well at the plate at all. He was struggling getting on base. He didn't get his first walk of the year until, I want to say, the second week of the season.
Do you think he can bounce back, though?
He can bounce back because he has the talent to. But the thing is, though, if he will, you know, baseball is the sport of lost talent. You have a lot of guys who are supposed to be good, and they aren't. And then they trade Justin Upton. And, yeah, you know, Justin Upton's Justin Upton. I'm a Braves fan. I know all about Justin Upton. I think he's so underrated. It's scary. Like, I mean, the guy hit 280. That's good. He hit 280 with 25-plus home runs. His OBP was in the 360s. He sees the ball real well. But then again, Justin isn't guaranteed for next year. Who's to say that San Diego doesn't have a bad year this year and Justin Upton's a free agent? You just lost your top pitching prospect in your organization, who was a top pitching prospect in the whole MLB, Max Fried. And I think he was listed again this year just a little bit lower because of Tommy John, but Max Fried could be huge. You know, so you're giving up a lot. You know, the Padres are going all in. I mean, they sign Matt Kemp. You know, they do a trade with Matt Kemp. So they do have Matt Kemp locked in for a little bit longer, but Matt Kemp's got injury history, history of bad knees, and he's old.
And he's getting up there in age.
There you go. You said it just as I did. You know, it's the Padres are, they're treading on thin ice. I mean, Shields is getting up there in age. His ERA keeps declining. He had a 3.357 ERA last year. And you give him 4 years, $60 million? Come on,
4 years, $75 million.
Oh, excuse me. Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I'm just not on that San Diego Padres train. I did like Will Middlebrooks in Boston. He showed a lot of promise, and then he just kind of faded away. Like, he just fell into oblivion. And he's gone now, obviously. Thank God they got rid of him. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I could ramble on about baseball and the Padres. It's just like, what are y'all doing?
And like you said, Will Myers in fantasy, I had Derek Norris in fantasy baseball. And, I mean, at times, yeah, he looked good. But obviously he wasn't getting the job done because they were platooning that catcher. So,
he's not,
I mean,
special.
Yeah. Some games, he may be all right for you, but he's not anything special, like you said. I don't know. They're selling for now, and I don't think they're a team that should have just said, hey, we're going in now. Because let's look at the teams in your division. They're all fighters. You know, the Giants have been, I mean, the Giants have pretty much, they've built a dynasty. Yes, they lost Pablo Sandoval, but, I mean, I don't see them slowing down, really.
Nope.
I don't know about you. And then you're in the division with the Dodgers, who are possibly the best team in baseball. I mean, you can make a case for that.
Help me out with what's his name? I forget his name, even though I don't like him just because, you know, I'm a Braves fan. Well, actually, I do like him. I gotta respect these guys. Who's your manager out in San Francisco? I'm on
Bruce Bochy.
Who's the manager? Bruce Bochy.
Bruce
yeah. Bochy, one of the best managers in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
One of the
best managers. To me, he is the reason that they won the World Series. He outmanaged Ned Yost in the World Series.
It wasn't even close. Ned Yost is an overrated manager.
He makes a lot of questionable decisions.
You know, you also have Don Mattingly, who I do not like, but that's because I'm a Braves fan. But Don Mattingly is a great manager as well. He single-handedly saved Yasiel Puig's career. Yasiel Puig's rookie year, if you don't follow baseball, he was crazy. I guess that's the way to put it. He was crazy, and he was showing off, and he was being someone you throw at their head when you're playing them in baseball. And Mattingly said going into last year, it's got to change, you got to grow up, you got to mature, you got to shut up. And Puig did just that, and Puig owned 400 OBP, scored 95 runs, stole 15 bases. Puig was great. You know, Mattingly's a great coach. He handles his players. Bruce Bochy does the same. I think Bud Black, I believe. Who's in Colorado? Is it Bud Black?
No, Bud Black, I think, is in San Diego. I think
is it Oakland?
I don't know. Is it Clint Hurdle in Colorado?
Oh, it's got to be Clint. Is it?
I think so. Or am I mixing that up with...
No, I mixed it up. You got to be right. No, Clint Hurdle's in Pittsburgh.
He's in Pittsburgh, huh? Yeah, Clint Hurdle's in Pittsburgh. But I'm not sure who the manager is in Colorado.
I have to figure, I have to figure this out before I freak out. Matt, Walt Weiss. Good old Walt Weiss. As I hear the crickets from Roscoe.
Yeah, who? Like an owl.
The owls. Yeah.
It ain't crickets, it's an owl over here.
Okay, well, I have to read into Walt Weiss. I don't know too much. Okay, well, Walt Weiss has been the manager for Colorado for the last few years, and that might be a credit to their downfall, because they've been downfalling, in my opinion.
I think they're the worst team in that division.
Bud Black was there. Bud Black had to be there, because that's who I enjoyed. That's who I thought Bud Black was really good. But good division nonetheless, and I don't think San Diego is going to compete in it like everyone thinks they are. They better play it safe. They better start throwing Justin Upton contract extension offers right now before he decides to hit free agency for fun. Because then they really lose out on that Braves deal big time. You know, they threw away a lot of their – yeah, quick question, bring it to me.
Quick question. Do you think the Padres' rotation is as good as they are, or do you think they benefit from having the big ballpark in San Diego and Petco Park?
Andrew Cashner, I love Andrew Cashner. but
I think he's the ace of the team still, even though he has the health issues.
He keeps getting hurt.
You know, it's looking better and better for the Cubs as Anthony Rizzo's improving and Andrew Cashner keeps getting injured. But that's just a Cubs fan coming out on me.
It doesn't matter. I mean, they're almost. I think even when Cashner's at his best, I think that's a fair trade. I mean, when Cashner's at his best, that's a fair trade.
But when is Cashner at his best? You know, that's the thing.
Opening day. Come on, Roscoe. Opening day. That's when Cashner's at his best. And then by the time
April 24th comes around, he's got a finger blister and he gets infected and he's out 3 months.
There you go. You see, that's what happens. But, all right, I'll rephrase it. When Cashner gets to his best and if he's fully healthy at his best, it's a fair trade. But their rotation is not really. Well, okay, yeah. It is a little underrated then. You look at their ace, it's going to be Cashner, Shields, Ian Kennedy, Tyson Ross, who is highly, highly, highly underrated. Ian Kennedy's getting older. He's going to be off that team eventually.
Going to be the four, and Ross would be the three.
I mean, yeah, it just depends how the manager sees it. Because I know they have him listed as the four, but they might keep Ian Kennedy at the three. He's a veteran leader. He's not terrible. And their five is going to be either that Omar Despain cat, who was throwing 87-mile-an-hour two-seamers last year.
It's up for grabs, like the five spot. That's what they say going into camp.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm trying to hold out for our baseball set of previews, because a lot of the rotations are up for grabs. But it's Omar Despain, I know you'll know this name, Brandon Morrow, Blue Jays pitcher.
From the Blue Jays, got him in the offseason.
So it's going to be between them five. I'd probably go Morrow just because he's had a little bit of success and he won't be a terrible five. But, that's going to be it's going to be an interesting team this year. Early preview at our show, I don't see them winning that division, but.
Me either. I mean, you know, I'm looking at their schedule now. Their first seven games, they open up with a three-game series at L.A. Then they have a four-game series against San Fran.
Oh, that's going to be fun. That's going to be must-watch baseball.
They play the AL West this year, which is the Astros, the Angels, the Mariners, the A's, and the Rangers. The A's, the Angels, the Rangers, the Astros, and the Mariners.
And that's not a sleeper division anymore.
No, not at all.
The Astros improved. That's going to be That's going to be another fight of a division too.
You know their first 10 games are divisional games. They got the Dodgers for three, the Giants for four, and then the Diamondbacks for three. Then they go to Chicago. Then they're back in their division. So.
Like I said, the Diamondbacks are a sleeper team, too. Yasmani Tomas, if he can do what he did in Cuba, then, oh, Lord, you know, that's the MVP right there. You know, that's the Jose Abreu of last year, and we know how Jose Abreu turned out. It's not like these Cuban guys are minor league guys. I mean, they're playing in good against good talent. And then they got
the talent just keeps coming over from Cuba.
Well, now it's going to really keep coming over. The MLB is going to keep growing. That's why I'm such a fan. You know, the MLB has always got talent coming from somewhere. And, you know, it's a great article our friend Gaines from Metri sent me. Talked about how, how many championships, how many World Series championships how it fluctuates all the time with who wins the World Series. You haven't had any repeat champions, the Yankees.
Well, not even the World Series, but the playoff teams. You know, it's different every year. You know, and that's the great thing about baseball. Because it compared to the football, and, yeah, when you look at it, the Patriots have been in the playoffs past 15 so years, you know? And it's just the same teams winning, but in baseball, it's somebody new. I mean, we're seeing the Pirates winning games. You know, the Royals went to the World Series. The A's are playing great, you know, last year and the year before that. It's just, it's somebody new every year in baseball, and, you know, baseball's really
right
growing right now. I've always been a big baseball fan, so I've always thought it was great. But that right now is definitely a time to tune in.
Well, I know we can't wait. I know the pitchers and catchers are due report next week, so, you know, maybe we'll do like a we'll do something for that. But again, guys, I'll end it the way I normally do. Just check us out on Twitter. Give us a follow at @in_between_lines. Make sure you listen to the podcast. I'll start advertising that a little bit more. And we are not going to be on the show next Tuesday. I'll send out a reminder. And just be sure to check us out on iTunes and our profile on here. Give us a follow. Is there anything else I need to mention? I guess not.
I think you covered it all there.
Yeah, I think I covered it all, and then I covered some again. But thank you, guys, and you all have a good week, and we'll see you all next Thursday.